Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you can tune in with us tonight. And we want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be with you each and every week. So let's get into it, Dr. Allen. I want to hear all about the Monday night show because you are live on the air.
Well, I had a great time, and for whatever reason, had so many new people. It was awesome, all those virgins.
Oh, you're virgins. I love it.
Yes,
you were sacrificing
the crowded,
them.
And it was fun.
So I hear also you did a show today, another radio show.
Yes, I did, for a fellow psychologist. His name is Mike Whitman, and I did a show based on, we talked about Me Too, and I explained to my own comfort the positive aspects of Me Too, like individuation. But the problem is that individuation leads to coupling, and that's where individuation becomes competition. So I got to, for the very first time publicly, to talk about, I have to be an I to be a good we, to be a good us, which is family, kids and family. But I was so happy with what God had me say, because I consider it inspired.
I do too, and I think it's really awesome because there's been a lot of controversy about the Me Too thing that's going on right now. So I love that you were able to address it publicly, and that's so cool. Now, I want to remind everybody. Well, yes, exactly, because like I said, there's just, oh, we've got some calls coming in. Are you ready for some calls, Dr.
Let's get the callers. Let's get the callers.
All right. Hey, Ronan, we're ready for calls when you are. All right. And we have one in. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you. So a man has been dating me for about 2.5 months.
Oh, the perfect period.
Yeah, and he wanted to be exclusive, but then you kind of said that maybe get a promise ring, so we were working through that, and I found out he basically caught him in two little lies, and it makes me, and I think back, and I'm like, I think there might have been a couple more, like the lies were about whether he put a passport in, and then another thing, he said he was using something I gave him, but like, I didn't even leave it with him. So my question is, I feel worried that he might be like sociopath or something, or like a compulsive liar. He's very flattering. He doesn't try to get anything from me, but I guess I don't know where to draw the line or how much time.
I want you to draw the line where your instinct tells you to draw the line. Don't prejudge people before you have evidence. But your instincts are telling you that he might be a sociopath or a psychopath. There's a great book by Sandra Brown, and it's called Women Who Love Psychopaths, which is so clinical. She has an institute where she does her teaching and work, and that is the best so far that I've seen about the women that are susceptible to liars, cheats, and thieves. So you don't have evidence yet. He hasn't done anything immoral, unethical, or illegal. So why don't you investigate for another 3 months? You're just going into the imperfect period. And that's when the stuff comes out that's not as good as the first 3 months, which may be somewhat encumbered with lying. So follow your evidence and your instinct. Your instinct will tell you moral, ethical, and legal, but your evidence is more real than your fantasies. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I kind of told him I wanted to be friends until, like, I could see that he wasn't lying, but maybe I should just not, you know, kind of give it more time.
He may just have gone away. You have the right to send him away. But what I'm saying is, to send him away, I want evidence along with instinct.
Okay.
So don't call him. He may dump you because you know too much and you're too strict, and that's not going to work for him, maybe. But remember, everybody has a lesson for you, and you need your lessons. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, caller.
That's interesting, Dr. Allen. She kind of friend-zoned him, and that's been a thing that's going on for a while, people talking about, men especially, discussing that. We got another call coming in. All right. Here we go. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Oh, fun. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hey.
Well, Before I ask my question, I wanted to say something. Exactly a month ago, I was at Dr. Allen's, one of the Saturday and Sunday courses. I took two in a row. It was wonderful. And that same weekend, I realized while I was there, was a two-year anniversary since I first called the radio. So I just wanted to, Kelly, also, I thank Dr. Allen already, but I also wanted to thank you because you played also such a huge part of my wonderful transformation over the last 2 years. So I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're
so
very
excited.
Welcome. Right.
We love that.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd be doing now if it wasn't for you guys, honestly. And the classes are always so great. I'm going to come back for more. I took four so far, and they're always, it's just so wonderful. I wish I lived there. I'd be there every few weeks, I think. Anyway, so my question is this. While I was in class, and I wanted to ask you then, but we didn't have time because there's so many people there. You, Dr. Allen, said something interesting. You said, few women ever get to the level of my training, which I call Kant training. And I know you mean Kant in a very positive way. I was wondering, what exactly did you mean by that?
What I mean is, Kant, there's a book called Kant. When a man calls you a cunt, it means that you won a point and he doesn't know how you did it. The word cunt, a very nice religious client of mine, I knew there was something good about that word. She looked it up and it means ancient wisdom or cradle of wisdom. And so when a man calls you a bitch, that means you're talking your bad stuff. When he calls you a cunt, that means you've outfoxed him spiritually. So
that's funny.
When I say to my clients, it takes a minimum of 3 years to get to the edge of cunt training, because cunt training is basically the use of words that in effect are not intimidating or seductive. They simply help each person, each woman, negotiate what's good for her. Like, oh, I so appreciate that you want to make love to me, but I've made a decision not to have casual sex unless I've got a promise ring or an engagement ring. So what do you think about that? Now, what that does is put him right square in the face of your virtue. And
mm-hmm.
virtue is what men marry. Vaginas are what men play with, but rarely marry, because they get into them too fast.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I see. Interesting.
Three girlfriends.
Well, I'm not stopping your training anytime soon, so a year from now I'll officially be a cunt. That's awesome. I will celebrate that as well.
I love it. Because the root word is cunning.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, now it makes sense. It makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's pretty much all the questions I had. I haven't been dating. I had a shoulder surgery, so all I do is just lay on the couch and recover. I have another week of that before I can do anything, really. So I'm just...
Well, that's okay.
I'm fixing my norepinephrine addiction, though, because every day since I'm just relaxing, like, well, what should I do today that feels good? I just do that between sleeping. It's really great.
That's amazing. But, we wish you a speedy and a complete recovery.
Thank you. Apparently, I was flirting while I was high on meds. I was told this. I don't remember this. I was flirting with a doctor operated on me.
Practice.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't remember, but it's really embarrassing.
No, I don't think it's embarrassing. Here's what I think. I think that if you are going to have a surgeon operate on you, you should be very charming. Maybe he's just going to be a little more careful while he's in there.
You know, the incisions he made are tiny, because I told him, I was like, look, I can't have scars. I need to be very, very careful. He's like, oh my God, please. You told me 100 times, I'll be very careful. And they're perfect. So it worked.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Very well, I won't take much of their, thanks. And I just really wanted to thank you both from the bottom of my heart, and Kelly, you too, because you remembered everything. Whenever I called, you remembered all the details from before. I don't know how you do it. It's incredible, since you get hundreds of callers. So it's pretty amazing.
Thank you. We appreciate it, Seattle. Yeah. We truly do.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, have a wonderful weekend, and I'll just listen to the rest of the show and have a great, just enjoy it. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
It will.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I love it, Dr. Allen. I love to hear somebody's come to a class and their life has changed.
They change their life by listening and finding out if what I'm saying fits them.
Exactly.
Well, not everybody likes what I teach. They want more power, more prestige, more whatever. But what I teach, based on scientific virtue means that nature has a way of teaching lessons very seriously through the physical door. So that's all I do, is teach the science of mating to people that are willing to be virtuous.
Excellent.
Are willing to be stoic, not hedonist.
Yeah, we've got another caller on, Dr. Allen. Hey, caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. First of all, I wanted to kind of give you guys an update. I started EMDR, emotional sexual abuse, as a child, and it's amazing. I want to say that.
It's
completely
very good. Very good.
Oh, it's so good.
Created it.
It's totally reprogrammed the way that I feel about the trauma. It doesn't erase the memory or anything in that regard. But I actually have a more sense of power when I think
Very
back on
good.
It or
You're
if I'm
anchored.
Ever triggered about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're
no, it's
your
just amazing.
Not your neurosis.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm discovering. So I wanted your opinion. I'm doing therapy and doing EMDR and kind of working on myself. I'm not heavy or fat, but there are areas I kind of want to work on in my body and financially. I just filed bankruptcy. What is your opinion on taking a hiatus from duty dating? Is to kind of focus on me, or do I just keep grinding away with duty dating while I'm working on me?
Duty dating is when you're practicing the skills of dating virtuously. And so that's good time, because loneliness and boredom are two things to be avoided as best possible. Mm-hmm. And your commitment to be perfect before you really get out there is a little too extreme. Remember, Katie Taylor, who's a transactional analyst, created a list of drivers which drive you to my office to drink, to eat, to whatever. And they're called be perfect. Try harder, harder, harder. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Please other people first. And be so strong, you never ask for help. Now, those are called drivers. Will drive you nuts. I also want to give you the list of the positive allowers. These allow you to be you. Be excellent. Retarded people can be excellent. They're the best people to put on an assembly line because they can do the same task over and over again without getting cuckoo. So be excellent. Don't be perfect. Work easy, not work hard. Please yourself first. Let them be enjoying what you do, but you take care of yourself. Know what's enough. Do I have enough attention, enough money, enough whatever? And the last one is be open to learning new things. Listen to everything and take into yourself that which fits you. So the drivers and the allowers are what we evaluate in our script class. And I think I'm doing that this weekend. I know I'm doing it. So this is what you need to know. Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner is a great book. And the one for EMDR is Getting Past Your Past by Francine Shapiro, who wrote and created EMDR.
Yeah, I've purchased the script People Live, and I've kind of cracked into it. I'm not very far. I've also picked up Wounded Woman at your recommendation for my
very
daddy.
Very good, issues. Very good. That's the impression of father on your soul.
Oh, yeah. And I know it drives a lot of my reasoning with men, my relationship with my father. So I'm anxious to dig into that. Okay. Well, I thought that I was kind of in the right lane by just focusing on myself. But I do find that I'm getting bored and lonely, and I kind of pine for dating again. And
then duty date as soon as you can for the practice.
Okay. All right. I'll get back on the horse.
Get well.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, caller. You know, that's interesting, Dr. Allen. It's that old adage, isn't it? Idle hands, the devil's workshop. And
hello, this is Ingrid.
Hi, Ingrid. This is Kelly and Dr. Pat Allen. You're on the air with us live. Do you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I do. Thank you. I have a boyfriend, and it's a simple question, but it's about money. And I don't do my nails usually, and he really likes women have nice nails. So I said, okay, well, I'll do that for you. And then a few minutes later, he goes, okay, well, I'll pay for it. I said, well, thank you very much. So I went to go have my nails done about a week ago, and he still hasn't offered up the money. And I don't know how to ask him for it, or if I should, or if I should wait, or how. I mean, I was going to do it anyway, but then he did offer. So, and he's offered to pay for my other things, and he hasn't done.
One of my tools. It's called Boyfriend Honey. I have something to ask you that's sensitive. Is it convenient for you to hear me now or when? Make an appointment. And he says, now, what is it? I so was impressed when you offered to pay for my nail job, and I had it done, but I'm a little uncomfortable without getting the money back because I really cannot afford to do nail jobs on my income.
And that's the truth. Yeah.
I understand that, or you would have been doing it.
Yeah.
So make an appointment for a sensitive subject and remind him that he promised to pay and that you're a little upset because you really didn't put it into your budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Use the tools.
Bye-bye.
Use the tools.
Thank you.
Bye, caller. Thank you for calling. Those tools are so valuable. That's why
I... For those that are new to the show, my tools are part of my doctoral dissertation, Androgynous Semantic Realignment. I teach people how to negotiate within and without and not intimidate self and others and not be begging and seductive with people. So negotiate, don't intimidate, don't seduce people.
Exactly. So that's amazing,
gamey,
Dr. Allen.
Gamey.
Oh yeah. We've known about that gamey stuff.
Yeah. So, Eric Byrne wrote the book Games People Play, which was one of his big winners.
One of my favorite books. I absolutely love it.
Good.
Was pretty dazzling. So we were talking about getting shoved into the friend zone, and a lot of men have mentioned it in recent time that they are dating a woman or they're going out with a woman, and then all of a sudden they get shoved into the friend zone, and I think a lot of them don't understand it. What is that, Dr. Allen? Is that a message from the woman? Now, the last woman who talked about friend zoning the guy didn't seem like she really wanted to friend zone him, but she did it, and you said something regarding virtue.
Are you wanting me to speak on the woman's ways to do it, the men?
Yes, I'd like both positions, both sides of the story.
Okay. Well, chemistry is big. And chemistry is nature. You smell the pheromones. Those are the particles that are emitted from the body of the person that you're 30 inches away from. And when you have chemistry for somebody, they could be Hitler's first cousin because your body says, I like him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you consummate the relationship and intercourse, you run the risk of bonding to this defective person, and that could take you to a bad place, which can take you up to 2 years to get over. So pheromones are very significant chemistry. For young women previous to menopause, it's deadly. For men that are post-andropause, that's 45 to 55, 60, they bond to young, hot women and lose wives, families, money because they prematurely consummate a natural marriage with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Young women with men, especially young men, who basically are not bondable. They fall in love, but bonding is anybody who's on estrogen, that's young women and older men. When men's testosterone goes down, the estrogen in their body starts affecting them. Grandpa's nicer than dad, and grandma's meaner than mom.
Right.
And women when women are young, premenopausal, they're on estrogen and very bondable.
Mm-hmm.
So your best bet is to not have intercourse until your dear friends.
So,
but chemistry is what gets you together, and chemistry is what is used by nature to keep you together when you don't like each other for some reason.
Very interesting. So, one of the other questions we had earlier, the gal was mentioning money issues and how to use the tools. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the want training and those tools. Your seminar on those tools is incredibly valuable. And I wanted to remind everybody that the seminars we have are very, very limited in seating. We only allow 6 people at our live seminars. That's not including Monday and Wednesday night. That's the live seminar classes that you can find at wantistore.com. So they're very intimate. Only 6 people in the couples class, only 6 people in the dreams class, only 6 people in the life script and in the want training. Dr. Allen, when you are taking them through the want training, you do role play with all the tools, don't you?
Yes.
Right. So can you just give everybody a little synopsis of, we had one of the tools already tonight, but like, here's an example. One of the ones I love is amigo talk, and not, we don't get to talk about that very much. I'd love to hear you talk
about
that.
Okay. Amigo talk is where you realize that complementary communication is a waltz that helps you stay together. And that means somebody in the relationship, straight, gay, or lesbian, has got to want to be respected first and cherished second. Everybody wants both, but you've got to prioritize it. The other person then wants to be respected first and cherished second. I believe I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one Fred Astaire and one Ginger Rogers. And that allows a person to not crash into your partner before you really have built a relationship. Remember, equality in communication really is competitive communication.
Which is terrific. Which is terrific for business, but it's terrific for business, but not for love.
It's terrific for friendships that are not sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, how do you feel? I don't feel very good. What do you think? And what can I do to help us do better? That's for the respectable one. And what can I do to help us feel better? That's for the cherishable one. So, complimentary waltzing with words enhances intimacy. But it isn't for work, and it isn't for just casual friendship.
And you were talking earlier when the lady was saying, you said that you were gone through the perfect period, and now you're moving into the imperfect period. Getting through that imperfect period, what does that do when you get to the third quarter of the relationship? The first quarter is the perfect period. The second quarter is the imperfect period. What happens, Dr. Allen, if you can work through that?
I already said a little bit about it when I said, for you people, women especially, when you want to be cherished, you cannot teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question your respectable partner without an appointment. I have something to say. Would it be convenient for you to hear me? Given the subject matter, I have something to say about where we're going Saturday or what we did last Sunday. When will it be convenient for you to listen to what I have to say. So amigo talk is where you decisively act like a friendly couple with potential intimacy on the horizon. And that looks like, I think, what do you feel? What can I do to help you and I feel better? I don't feel very good about that. What do you think about doing it this way? And what can I do to help us do better? That's more friendly. Now, another tool is when you're irritated, but you
right.
don't have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer. It's not moral, ethical, and legal. So you would say to that other person, you had every right to say that. You had every right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable about it. Are you willing to listen to why I'm uncomfortable? And what can I do to help us feel do better? Because complimentary, friendly. So if somebody's got an irritating issue, please make an appointment and make them right for what they're doing, unless you have to make them wrong by calling the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. I want all the women listening to raise their right hand. I promise, on my honor, to respect the men I love, even when I think I'm smarter and sometimes could do it better. Furthermore, I promise to keep my yang mouth shut unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer. And that's especially for women. Now, for men, it's the opposite. It's called, I have something to say that may be painful. When a man wants to bitch, moan, teach, preach, or question, he's got to make an appointment. He can't just dump his pain on you, because that calls for you to be his mother, which is a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel very good about the joke you cracked at the party the other night, and I want you to not do that again. How do you feel about respecting my request not to be the butt of your jokes? What can I do to help you and I feel better about you respecting me? So that is the third tool. The fourth tool is, I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, your gesture, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be convenient for you to tell me about it? Hopefully today. And what can I do to help you and I do better? Now, the men's job is, I have something to say that might be painful. When would it be comfortable for you to hear me? You have every right to say or think that, but I want it this way. How do you feel about respecting me? And what can I do to help you and I feel better about respecting me? And then the ever popular, I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, look on your face, your body language, your gesture, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. No. No answer at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have every right not to give me an answer, but a non-answer is a negative answer. What can I do to help us do better? And the other side of that is, I sense, I think, I believe, by the tone of your voice, look in your face, you're upset about something. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Okay. If you ever are, feel free to come up and ask for me to listen to what you have to say. Make an appointment with me. That's the fourth tool. And the fifth tool is time out. Time out is basically the sign that the referee gives on the soccer match, it's the hands forming a cross T. And that signals your partner that you're upset about something without talking, because very often the talking gets emotional. So a sign language sometimes is more friendly. So amigo talk is when you respect and cherish each other artificially, because it's not something you do regularly. And you'll say, well, that's not really me. No, but not every part of you is really respectable or cherishable. And it's better if you're waltzing than slam dancing or discoing, which are far more distant.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
So amazing, Dr. Allen. And we have got a question from one of our Facebook people. And let's see. She says, Dr. Pat, I have a question. A man met me 3 months ago. He's been visiting me, enjoying great conversation. We have so much in common. Now he's making little hints, like I don't really want a girlfriend. He hugs and kisses me. He's always phoning and texting. He said he has not met anyone recently that he's fallen in love with. I feel confused. I'm above average attractive woman, 56. He's 61. I don't chase him, but he knows I like him. What should I do?
What you should do is not have intercourse with him. What he's saying is, I want a free girlfriend or a free wife. And I promise you, that will never lead to anything but your pain. So when a man suggests, I'm not in love and I'm not going to bed, can we go to bed? You say, I really appreciate you want to make love to me. He doesn't. He wants to have sex with you. However, I've made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to have casual sex at all. I'm going to make love to a man who wants to be in a committed relationship with the possibilities of being married at the end of a year.
So it's rather blunt, but you know what you're saying is what she's trying to, what's going on is he's just telling her, I want a free girlfriend. If she's going to respond, she'll go for it. Then why is he going to get the buy the cow? He's got the free girlfriend.
That's exactly right. And so what I'm saying is, men play with vaginas, but they marry virtuous women. That doesn't mean they're happy. Marriage is not designed for men. Men want herds of women, naturally. And we women want our man. So monogamy, continuity, how often am I going to hear from you and see you, and longevity goals that are similar are the three necessities of a good long-term relationship, whether it's mating without a legal document or marriage, mating with a legal document. You've got to handle those three questions.
All right, we've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen. I love your show, and I'm ready to get more skills and tools from you regarding, you know, what is the best book or what advice can you give me? My boyfriend and I have been together for almost a year, and we talk commitment.
Well,
even like, yeah, we've had a lot of ups and downs. He's Brazilian and he has a lot of different like cultural issues that like really conflict with my American issues. But however, we decided we're going to try everything to make it work. However, I've really learned that he has like kind of like mother issues. He likes older women and I'm older than him. And then I have kind of like daddy issues, like abandonment issues. And there's like triggers that he shows
me. You mean you're normally human?
Thanks.
We're on this planet to handle lessons. If we didn't have any lessons, we'd be guardian angels.
So I have that big lesson. I want to get over it. I want to be better. I don't want to have these issues because it's affected our relationship. And
well, give me a specific.
Okay, so he does like older women. I don't know, sometimes I feel like he wants me to be like his wife already, even though we've talked about marriage, but I'm not. We have a committed relationship.
What does he say to you that gives you that idea?
He tells me, he's like, I don't, younger women don't have a mind. You have a mind. And, you know,
he's complimenting you. What is he saying that's hurting your feelings?
Well, I would say he triggers some of my abandonment issues. Like,
how does he do that? I want to know what he says that does that. I don't want to marry ever.
No. He's like, I don't want to tell you what I do when he goes out with other people and other girls.
Then you have to decide if your instinct tells you he's screwing around or he's just playing games with poker or something. Your guts know. Your neurotransmitters, your dopamine, your serotonin, your norepinephrine, your guts know when he's unfaithful. Is he unfaithful?
No.
Therefore, treat him like a virtuous man. He's threatening you. What difference does that make?
Yeah, he likes to do those threats. Like, and I
got
this trigger.
When a man marries, he volunteers to take on responsibility for you and the kids. When a woman marries, she gives up a lot of independence.
Yes.
Marriage is not built for men. It's built for women and kids.
Okay. What do you have a book? I mean, is it Getting to I Do, or is it another book that I could...
I Do covers the waterfront.
Okay.
Are you wanting to be cherished or respected first?
Cherished. My feelings mean a lot to me.
All right. Does he cherish you 51% of the time?
Yes.
Then that's pretty good. You have to respect him 51% of the time for him to cherish you. The only woman a man loves better than himself is his daughter under 10. All other women will respect him or else.
Okay. Thank you.
Is he immoral, unethical, or illegal with you?
No.
Then I want you to know he's normal, but he's irritating.
Okay.
So what?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Use
so I just
want
to. Okay. So use the tools in Getting to I Do.
What?
In that book? Use the tools that are in the book. Or what other books? I definitely want to go to one of your seminars.
I've also written Staying Married and Loving It, but it's not as popular as Getting to I Do. It's still in Amazon's shelves. So Getting to I Do, and there's a CD set called Want Training for Effective Living. Go to my website, drpatallen.com. I've plastered the
stuff. And you can exactly. And you can shop direct at wantistore.com.
Oh,
thank
good.
You. Thank you both. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. Amazing.
Good. So we're teaching the tools.
We are teaching the tools, and the tools are so important. Sounds like we might have somebody on the line there. Hey, do we have a caller on? Caller, are you there? Looks like we dropped the caller. That's cool. So, Let's see what we've got going on here. All right, we've lost that caller. They're going to try to get that caller back, but let's see what we've got shaking here. Dear Dr. Allen, I am angry. I'm so angry. And I want to know, is it possible to write letters of anger, but then have no one to listen to them or read them?
I think we're called therapists.
Exactly. Exactly. So if somebody was angry, hurting, in pain, and they wrote those letters of anger, they could probably
read
do something.
They could read it to a trusted friend, a spiritual director, somebody.
Or what they could do.
With.
They could
what?
Call. They could call and book a phone appointment with Dr. Pat
yes,
Allen,
yes,
which
yes,
is yes. amazing because I want to remind everybody, Dr. Allen does do telephone appointments. So you can reach out to info@drpatallen.com or call into the office. You can get that number off of our website, www.drpatallen.com. And you can either call and request an appointment or you can email info@drpatallen.com for an appointment. Dr. Allen doesn't only do seminars and amazing shows the first Monday and first Wednesday of every month. She also does really amazing phone appointments, and she does them for all kinds of things, including some of the things we do in our seminar, like our dreams and our life script. And our life script is a That one is really amazing. That one requires an appointment, but you can get a shorter appointment if you want to do something like read your letters of anger to Dr. Allen. So I really want you to know that it's really valuable being able to reach out to Dr. Allen. And of course, you can always call us here at the radio station on Thursday when we're live. Now, you can also hear us Friday. And I think Wednesday on both channels because we get rebroadcasts. And if you miss all of those, you can always download our show from the website at latalkradio.com. However, we love it when you're live with us and you call in so we can talk to you. So, Dr. Allen, I hear you're going on a little trip.
Yes, I'm going down to Palm Springs to get my CEUs, to keep my license as a marriage, family, child therapist.
Very exciting.
And I'm going down this next weekend. My nephew is graduating from the University of Texas as an engineer on Friday of next week, and I'm going to be there for that. And the next week after that, I'm going to be in Palm Springs getting legalized.
That's amazing. Is that Texas A&M?
Yes.
So, you're going down where the Cowboys are, down in Texas. Love
yes.
Texas. Uh-huh. Love visiting Texas.
Right, right.
Lots.
I have two daughters that live there. Two daughters in California and two daughters in Texas.
Lots of gentlemen. Lots of gentlemen in Texas. Lots of gentlemen in Texas.
Yeah.
When I was there, I had
by those rules.
They do, and I have to tell you, it was incredibly charming, and I loved it. Same thing when I visited Savannah, Georgia. Same thing applies. The doors get open, and you get greeted quite nicely. Very, very. I loved visiting. I love Texas. So that's very exciting. Texas A&M is a really, really tough school, and engineering is an amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amazing degree to be getting into, especially
electrical.
In this. Oh boy, that's a rough one. That's a lot of math.
Yep.
Neither you or my favorite subject.
Garen Rhodes is his name.
Well, then I want to say congratulations to your nephew, Darren Rhodes, for making it through and getting that degree.
Yep.
That's amazing. We say huge congratulations. Dr. Allen, we are almost out of time. What do you got to say before we go tonight?
I want to say the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
True that. We love you, everyone. We will be back next week to be with you and to bring you more information and communication skills. Be back with us, we hope. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.